You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Vols. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kane, or on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Every weekday morning when you wake up, you can find this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey app, Stitcher. And a reminder, a lot of people are having issues with Apple Podcasts right now. It hasn't reached our podcast yet this week, and hopefully it won't. But if you can't find this podcast, I assure you it's there somewhere. Check the Odyssey app or Spotify or any of those other spots. So I just wanted to put that out there right off the bat. And of course, this episode, this Thursday episode, it's brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Balls sent you. Guys, I'm stoked here for a Thursday show. Just look behind the curtain just a little bit, guys. I'm going to be real with you. I was knocked on my butt all Wednesday. I went in, did the early morning radio show, and came back home at about 9:30 in the morning and didn't get out of bed until about 6:30 Wednesday evening. I got my second COVID shot on Tuesday morning, and it wiped me out. So as I'm recording this podcast right now, it's about 10 o'clock on Wednesday night, and that is way late for me. But nonetheless, I have put together a nice little show I think you guys are going to enjoy, and so I'm looking forward to it. Segment one, Tennessee lands another player from the transfer portal. We'll tell you about that. Segment two, Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. Overreactions from the SEC leaving spring practice. Tennessee is in the best position in terms of quarterbacks around the conference. I will disagree and debate that in segment number two. And in segment number three, not really a Vols topic, but Tim Tebow is trying to make a comeback. So I might ruffle some feathers there. Maybe you guys will be all about it, but I have some strong opinions on that. So that's the rundown for today here on Locked On Vols. Again, every weekday morning when you wake up. So we're going to start with discussing Tennessee's latest addition to this current roster, as Josh Heupel and company have made great additions to this team through the transfer portal already this season or this offseason. And the Vols did it again on Wednesday, bringing in wide receiver Javonta Payton from Mississippi State. So right off the bat, I'm going to say it's very confusing in terms of how to keep track of the numbers. So typically, you can only bring in 25, okay? It doesn't matter how many people leave your squad. You can only bring in 25. It's a rule from the NCAA. Now, if you have players released from your national letter of intent, that typically opens up a spot. If you have players leave via the transfer portal, that doesn't open up a spot. But as we're seeing right now, there are certain special situations to where some of these spots can open up. So I'm not explaining it very well, and I apologize. The people who have explained it to me didn't do a very good job because I obviously didn't get it. Point of the matter is Tennessee has brought in someone else from the transfer portal. Tennessee has one more spot left in the class of 2021. And then moving forward, Tennessee can still bring in some players, but those players, I think the limit would be two from that point on. They would be blue-shirted and counted against the class of 2022. So the numbers are confusing. I know I didn't do a good job explaining it, but because of these unique circumstances with the investigation, with COVID, with the suspensions from some of these players, unique circumstances allow some more scholarships to open up, and Tennessee's taking advantage of it. Javonta Payton, okay, he's been at Mississippi State the past 2 years. In 2020, he rolled in 19 receptions, 225 yards, and a touchdown. Stands in at 6'2", about 195, is usually a guy that lines up on the outside. And Javonta Payton's coming in to add to a unit that's not experienced, but as you guys know, I've been very complimentary of Tennessee's wide receiver room from spring practice on. I think a lot of depth and parity was created there, starting with the top with Bayless Jones Jr., Jalen Hyatt, the Jimmies. I thought Jimmy Callaway had a fantastic spring. Jimmy Holiday was banged up a little bit, but he's going to be a guy in there. Cedric Tillman had a good spring. Anderson Kobe had a good spring. Walker Morrell, before getting hurt, had a good spring. Romel Keaton had a good spring. So I mentioned all these guys right off the bat, and then now you're adding another one in there. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Tennessee's got more needs than a wide receiver. I certainly agree with that. But as we saw from spring practice, as we saw from the spring game, Tennessee will employ 3 to 4 wide receivers typically in a given offense. Sometimes we'll empty that sucker out and go 5 wide. And a lot of times when you go 5 wide, you're going to have a running back out there in the skinny slot. But nonetheless, a lot of wide receivers are going to be needed in this offense. because it's going to be up-tempo, it's going to be pass-happy a lot of the times. It'll be balanced, but there's going to be a lot of throwing the ball around. So why not add another guy that has experience, that's an older guy, and someone that can come in and help your offense? And so that's what this coaching staff sees in Javonte Payton. He was a three-star in the class of 2019 coming out of Northwest Mississippi Community College, spent his first couple years there. He's got a unique story, actually signed and committed and signed on with Ole Miss out of high school, ended up at Northwest Mississippi Community College, and then was offered by Tennessee twice, once by Butch Jones in high school, once by Jeremy Pruitt in the class of 2019 recruiting cycle, signed with Mississippi State, played there the past 2 years. Now Josh Heupel offers and gets him to Tennessee finally. He is a Middle Tennessee guy where he attended Hillsboro High School. And he's a guy, that, again, that's going to come in as a grad transfer and try to help Tennessee's wide receiving ranks. So when you look at the grand total of things, what Tennessee's done in the transfer portal the last couple weeks, it's been pretty impressive. Quarterback Joe Bilton, linebacker Jawan Mitchell, defensive lineman Caleb Tremblay, and wide receiver Javonte Payton. Are any of these guys going to come in and win the Heisman? No, I do not think so. Are most of these guys going to come in and see significant playing time? I think that's the thought. Obviously, Joe Milton will have to come out and win this job, but the other positions are kind of rotational pieces. Jawan Mitchell, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be out there playing linebacker for Tennessee because I think he's good enough, one, but there's a severe need there. I think Caleb Tremblay is going to be in the rotation on the defensive line, and Rodney Gardner says that he does not care. He will play as many different defensive linemen as it takes to find that right mix. And Javonte Payton, again, is a guy that I think will rotate in a wide receiver. So are any of these guys going to win the Heisman? I don't think so. Will these guys be big-time contributors? I think Jawan Mitchell will. I think Payton and Tremblay have the potential too. And, of course, if Joe Milton wins the job, he's your starting quarterback, so he will as well. The coaching staff wouldn't have been taking these guys in if they didn't see them helping the team in 2020. Now, nothing's going to be handed to them, but I don't believe that the coaching staff envisions these guys sitting on the bench and not helping. So I think it is impressive what Josh Heupel and his assistants have done in the transfer portal, and we're going to have to see how it all plays out. But the latest to Tennessee, wide receiver Javonte Payton of Hillsboro High School that's been on quite the ride, but now coming in as a graduate transfer, trying to help Tennessee in the receiving corps. I want to leave you on this here in segment number one. I mentioned one spot available, confusing with the numbers, I get it. One spot available, to my understanding, in the class of 2021. We've been here before, I get it. Keep an eye on defensive lineman Deshaun Terry, Kansas. I think there's interest there on both sides, and potentially that could be the 5th player from the transfer portal that is added to this team. So Deshaun Terry from Kansas, keep an eye on him, and maybe something will transpire there. All right, in segment number two, Barrett Salees talking about Tennessee's quarterback situation and how it's pretty good when you look around the SEC. We'll discuss that here in segment number two. But first, my friends, rockauto.com, family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com and shop for all your auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oils, and even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate through. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. That's the best thing about it. RockAuto.com are the prices, always reliably low, the same for the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and when you're there, write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at RockAuto.com. Segment two of a Thursday. Locked On Vols coming at you right now. Eric Kane, your host, @_Kane, or on Twitter @LockedOnVols. So our guy, Barrett Salees, Josh Ward brought him on this podcast a ton back when he hosted. He's a good friend of the radio station. Barrett Salees came out with an article on CBS Sports titled SEC Spring Football Overreaction. So essentially, once the spring session locks up, he kind of spits out about 10 or 15 complete and utter overreactions, kind of a take for most of these teams leaving spring that could or you know, probably will not come true. And they're not really predictions. It's just kind of overreactions. And so I thought it was very interesting. He got to Tennessee, and Salih said the Vols had the best quarterback situation in the SEC. This is the paragraph on that statement right here from Barrett Salih, CBS Sports. Okay, this might be a big overreaction considering Daniels is in Athens. That's JT Daniels at Georgia. But Harrison Bailey and Hendon Hooker looked pretty darn good in the Volunteer spring game. I think he meant Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer, but nonetheless. Down the field passing hadn't been a strong point under former head coach Jeremy Pruitt, and that clearly has been the focus for first-year head coach Josh Heupel, who has a pretty good track record of coaching quarterbacks. Add Michigan transfer Joe Milton into the mix, and the battle in Knoxville should create a culture of competition that trickles down throughout the entire locker room. So I certainly see what Barrett Salih is saying here. Competition brings out the best in everybody, and I know this day and age in college football, you don't win the starting job, you go to the transfer portal, especially now with that one-time waiver to where you can go and you can transfer. But competition brings out the best. If you see five quarterbacks, if you see, okay, it's going to dwindle down. If you see three quarterbacks just getting after it in the quarterback room on the practice field, getting reps before and after practice every single day, what do you think the defensive lineman is going to do that sees that? It's going to encourage him to work harder. What do you think the receivers are going to do? They're going to say, okay, our quarterbacks are working. Let's go run routes with them. What do you think the offensive lineman's going to do? Seeing that, oh, okay, the quarterbacks are working. Well, let's work just as hard to protect those guys. It's a matter of respect. And so I certainly do see what Barrett Salih is saying there. And then on to the actual matter at hand. His point is you have options, okay? Yes, Harrison Bailey looked fantastic in the spring football game, but as I pointed out, Harrison Bailey struggled with some pass rush in blitzing in the scrimmages prior. There was very vanilla defense, and he sat back there, put the football on the money, and looked really, really good in the spring game. And credit Harrison Bailey. He looked good. But you got Harrison Bailey. You got Hendon Hooker, who didn't take many chances, didn't force the ball down the field an awful lot, except for that last pass of the spring game to Cedric Tillman, where it was a great throw, even better catch from Tillman. You got Hendon Hooker that I think has some of the, in the little that I've seen him, okay, I think has some of these same characteristic struggles that we saw in Jerry Garantano. Holds on to the football a little longer, doesn't throw the ball downfield an awful lot, doesn't take many chances, at least Jerry Garantano early on in his career. But I need to see more of Hendon Hooker to see if that's actually right. There were a couple plays I'm saying, oh my gosh, I've seen this so many times. But you've got Hendon Hooker, who's started in the Power 5 level, started games in the ACC, and now coming in as the most experienced quarterback in the room. So Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker, Brian Maurer's there. He's seen significant playing time throughout his first couple years in Knoxville. Never consistently, but he's shined a little bit. So you have him. He's still got probably the most ability of anybody there right now. You got Caden Salter, who missed all of spring practice due to an off-the-field suspension, but he'll be in the mix come fall. And then you add in Joe Milton, who I think has even more ability more than Brian Maurer, meaning the legs to add to that arsenal, meaning he has a cannon of an arm to throw it downfield, okay? He is super athletic. But the short and intermediate games, that's where the questions arise. So Barrett is saying in the CBS Sports article here, the SEC spring overreactions, that Tennessee has options at quarterback, and you feel good that you have options. But my counter to that, and this is what I said on the radio program Wednesday morning, is, yeah, that's great, but you still don't have a guy, at least right now. Will there be a guy? Will Tennessee have a guy come game one? Maybe. Will Tennessee have a guy come game three? Better hope so. What I mean by guy is a quarterback that says, all right, this is my spot, this is my team, and I'm going to stay in here and I'm going to start for the next couple of years, because all of these quarterbacks can stay here and start for multiple years down the line. Hendon Hooker has 2 years. Joe Milton has 3 years. Harrison Bailey has technically 4 years if you take out the COVID year. Brian Maurer, I think, will technically have 3 years if you count the COVID year. Caden Salter's got 4 years. Okay? So will Tennessee have a guy step up and say, all right, this is me. This is all on me. We'll have to see. So I would say that the phrase, the headline, Vols had the best quarterback situation in the SEC, is yes, it is a complete overreaction, because I don't think that's the case. But I do agree with Barrett, the Vols do have options. It's just up to the coaching staff and the players to decipher which option is the best and which quarterback steps up and takes a grasp of the offense. Furthermore, I know there's a lot of turnover at the quarterback position in the SEC this year. I get it. But put the Vols quarterback room up against, I mean, we'll start at Georgia with JT Daniels. No, I think Georgia is going to be one of the best football teams in the country this year. Absolutely loaded. That offense is going to be incredible. JT Daniels, advantage. What about Miles Brennan at LSU? From what I've seen so far, from all the tape of all the Tennessee quarterbacks, even the new ones, what I've seen from Miles Brennan, I would say advantage Miles Brennan. I could be wrong. That's fine. Matt Corral, advantage Matt Corral, Ole Miss. Ken Seals at Vanderbilt, he's young, but he was very, very good as a freshman for a horrible team. You've got Connor Bazelak, who took over the starting quarterback job in that second week of the season in the second quarter when Missouri was here in Knoxville, and he elevated that team and that offense as the season went on. You've got Bo Nix at Auburn, who's experienced. You got KJ Jefferson, who's been named the starter at Arkansas. Now, at Bama, you're likely looking at Bryce Young, former five-star prospect that's going to be the starting quarterback there, taking over for, of course, Mac Jones. Florida, going to be looking for a new quarterback. Will it be Emory Jones? Will he be a package quarterback? South Carolina is named Luke Doty at starting quarterback. I don't know who that is. Kentucky, who's going to be quarterback in that team? Will Rogers or Jack Abram from Mississippi State? What about Texas A&M? So there are some teams that don't have a clue about quarterback right now around the SEC. But there are some teams that have great, great options at quarterback around the SEC. So I thought this was fun. It is the whole point of the article was overreaction. So I get it, but certainly I wholeheartedly disagree with it. And it's a matter of, yeah, sure, you have options, but do you have a guy? And Tennessee and Josh Heupel is trying to find the guy to lead this team. So maybe you guys think Tennessee already has the guy in Harrison Bailey or Joe Milton or Brian Maurer or whoever it is. And that's fine. We'll have to see. But I don't think the Tennessee coaching staff is convinced it has the guy yet. Needs more and more competition. We'll talk Tim Tebow in segment three, but first, Bet Online. Fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. My Atlanta Braves, winners of two straight, now two games under 500. The long trek back to 500, it's been annoying. But I've been tracking it all season long at Bet Online. Last week, the Kentucky Derby, and you know, the first leg of the Triple Crown. You had the NFL Draft, prop bets. Had a whole lot of fun taking advantage of those. I got all my latest news, odds, and information for all the sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, all that stuff. All at BetOnline. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and the contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Join the game at BetOnline.ag. So right now, head on over to the website, use that mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON. They're going to give you money just for signing up. Literally going to hand you money over. 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet online. It's your online sportsbook experts. It's been a fun show so far here on a Thursday. Locked On Vols. I want to remind you guys, I will have a VFL joining the show tomorrow to end the week. So looking forward to that. And of course, it'll be Five Star Friday. So get those reviews in and rate this podcast. Give me 5 stars. I really, really appreciate it. We'll be shouting out some people who gave me some 5 stars last week. So looking forward to that. I really do appreciate it as always. I teased it earlier in the show, guys, as we welcome you back in here to Locked On Vols at Locked On Vols on Twitter at _Caner. This is not really a Tennessee topic, but I do think that it's of interest to any Tennessee football fan because it's a huge football story. It involves one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the college game. And it was the starting quarterback and 2-time national championship winner, 1-time Heisman Trophy winner, the pain in Tennessee's side, Tim Tebow. Now, we all know who Tim Tebow is, obviously, okay? Everyone can have their opinion about Tim Tebow. I think the majority of sports fans, and again, I can be wrong with some people listening right now, but I think the majority of people like Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow, okay? I respect the heck out of Tim Tebow, what he stands for, his competitive drive, his Christian faith, the way he treats people, how he gives back to so many people in need. you know, he's okay in the broadcast booth. He's okay as a studio host. I understand why the networks, why ESPN and the SEC Network want him there. I get it. I know why USA Today, Good Morning America wants Tim Tebow. I get all that. I like Tim Tebow. But what's going on right now just really grinds my gears. If you listen to the starting lineup Wednesday morning, you heard me go off on this. And a lot of people probably think I'm just grumpy Caner, all right? Cranky Caner. It is what it is. But I hate it. I despise what's going on around the news circuit right now. Okay, so we know. Okay, first of all, disclaimer. Boy, do I hate Urban Meyer. If there are two people on this earth that I could just, oh boy, that I hate the most, it is Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball umpire, or Major League Baseball commissioner, and boy, is it Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, the way he lies, the way he covered up everything that was going on amidst his staff and his assistants for 10 years, and ultimately lied about it and to avoid getting fired, said, again, medical reasons, I'm going to retire. I hate Urban Meyer. I just hate him, okay? And honestly, it has nothing to do with that he was the Florida Gators head coach. I just hate the human being that he is. So, Urban Meyer, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars now. A lot of you guys might be liking this little rant going on. But Urban Meyer, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Despite my hatred for Urban Meyer is a hell of a football coach. And he will build that franchise up. He will. Okay? That's just part of it. Urban Meyer is BFFs with Tim Tebow. They were BFFs when Tebow played for him. They've been BFFs in the decade since. They are boys. That's fine. I'm great friends with my high school football coach. I talk to him twice a week. That's fine. But there's a report out there right now that Tim Tebow has gone and worked out for the Jaguars as a tight end and is trying to make an NFL comeback at the age of 33. Oh, when the season kicks off, he'll be 34. What a bunch of crap. Okay, Tim Tebow couldn't make it as a quarterback in the National Football League. That was evident. As a starter, as a full-time starter, when he started, 14 games all the way back for the Broncos in 2011, he started 11 games, played in 14 games. He threw 12 touchdowns, okay? We know Tim Tebow was not a quarterback that can make it in the National Football League, and it was a complete crapshoot that the Broncos drafted back into the first round, traded back into the first round to go get Tim Tebow the 25th pick, I believe. And a lot of people were saying, okay, well, Tim, we might need you to move to another position here. Why don't you move to tight end? Why don't you give tight end a try and see if you can prolong your career, stay in this league for a little longer? No, I'm a quarterback. I'm good enough. Well, Tim Tebow, you weren't good enough. You're out of the league. All right, tries to go and play minor league baseball. It was a complete and utter publicity stunt, 100%. But the fact that he still did as well as he did in minor league baseball for 4.5 seasons, incredible, okay? And if not for a hand injury in 2019, I promise you, I'll bet my whole life's stake of money and equity and assets on it, which isn't much, Tim Tebow would have made his major league debut for the New York Mets in September of 2019, if not for breaking his hand. He was doing pretty well in AAA Syracuse. Not great, but he was doing pretty well. The Mets were abysmal, and those September call-ups, when you can expand the roster, Tim Tebow would have came out, and he would have made a pinch-hit appearance on a Friday or a Saturday, and boy, the Mets would have sold out, okay? But he got hurt. That didn't happen. So the minor league baseball career flailed. He retired from the game of baseball this past offseason. By the way, I used to work in the Mets organization, and Tim Tebow rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, just say that. But now there's a report of him going out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe it's just complete crap, all right? So Tony Khan, he's the son of Jaguars owner Chad Khan, and he's a member of the Jaguars front office with the title of Chief Football Strategy Officer. He says in an interview with Bleacher Report that head coach Urban Meyer thinks Tim Tebow can help the Jaguars win. Quote, Tim has definitely come in and worked out. So beyond that, I can't say too much, but Tim has come in and worked out a tight end. That's not a position that we've seen him play, but it's a position that he's been practicing at with us, so it'll be interesting to see how he'll contribute on offense, too. Obviously, Urban knows Tim really well. Tim has got a great history of winning. Urban really believes he can help us win, and I think it makes a whole lot of sense, and it's a position where we need to get better. Okay, so Jacksonville, you think you can get better at a tight end position by bringing in a 34-year-old former quarterback who has never played tight end in his life, and that's going to improve your roster. I would love to see Tim Tebow try to block down on a 5-eye. I would love to see Tim Tebow try to block down on a defensive end. He's a quarterback that's never done it. Oh, and he's 34. Guys, ask me how many tight ends played in the National Football League older than 34 last year. Three, and they were not effective. VFL Jason Witten is one of them. Not effective. So, do I hate Tim Tebow? No, I do not hate Tim Tebow. Do I think it's utterly ridiculous that he is getting this opportunity? Absolutely. I'm not trying to bash on his competitive spirit. When I'm 40 years old, I'm going to want to go outside and play football because I love football. But how many other 33, about to be 34-year-old, former washed-up football stars would want the opportunity that Tim Tebow is getting right now but would be laughed off the phone if they called a certain GM or anybody else at any of the other 31 franchises around the league? The only reason Tim Tebow is getting this opportunity is because he's Tim Tebow and because he's BFF with Urban Meyer. Tim Tebow, he is going to take a spot on this 90-man offseason roster. He is going to deny an undrafted free agent, someone trying to hang on. He is going to deny that player a spot on the offseason roster. If Tim Tebow makes it through the cuts in training camp, oh my goodness, I might lose it. There is no way Tim Tebow will make the 53-man roster. No way. But you're denying opportunities of players who deserve to be there. This is not official yet. It might not be official yet. But the fact that Tim Tebow is getting a workout with the Jacksonville Jaguars and they're actually pushing it through the media, saying, oh yeah, think he can help us win. It's complete and utter BS. Do you want Tim Tebow to be a part of your franchise? Sure. I would want him to be a part of my franchise too. How about Team Chaplin? How about motivational speaker? How about assistant to the assistant strength and conditioning coach? He can be a part of your franchise in many different ways. Don't waste a roster spot this offseason and deny someone that deserves to be there a chance just because you're Tim Tebow. It's complete and utter crap. That's my rant. I'm sorry. It was not Tennessee football related, but I know a lot of Tennessee fans probably still hate Tim Tebow. So take it for what it is. I like Tim Tebow the person. Love everything he stands for. But this is utter crap. So that's my soapbox. I will get off it now. If you didn't like it, I apologize. I promise we'll get back to Tennessee in the remaining podcasts to come. But a lot of people tweeted in and hollered at me after my little rant on radio, said they loved it. So I just wanted to share it with you guys. Hope you didn't mind. Guys, reminder, when you're not listening to Locked On Vols, when you get done with this here in just a second, go check out the Locked On Today podcast. Everything you need in under 20 minutes with host Peter Bukowski, updating you on the latest news in every major sport with the help from all the local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. That is a Thursday show, guys. It was fun. I appreciate you as always. Tune in tomorrow for a 5-star Friday. Get those reviews in. Throw me some 5 stars. We will hear from a VFL as well as we set you up for the weekend. Guys, I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your Thursday, everybody.